Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has
been
declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out two weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money. Bad credit holding you back. Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be rich. Oh,
greetings, everyone. Anyone out there want to be rich? How many of you are rich? Dollars in the bank account aren't the only way to measure that. Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and you are tuned in to Unlock Your Wealth Radio for this wonderful June, oh my gosh, I got July on my mind. I'll tell you all about that coming up. But for this fabulous Saturday, June 11th, 2011, we are broadcasting live from the UnlockYourWealth.com studios right here in Payson, Arizona. And this Saturday, like every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast our show and bring you the latest tips, tricks, tools, and information you can incorporate into your life right now so you can build a better financial future for you and your family. And we do this 1 week at a time, one key at a time, from our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And I thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Saturday. As we are fully getting into the groove, getting past graduations, kids getting out of school, thinking about summer, trying to brave the heat in some areas of the country, it's so amazing. We're here in Arizona, and I should be sweating off the triple digits, but we're not. You know, my poor husband keeps traveling to all these areas of the country that should be cooler, and they're just saunas. They have our temperature and commensurate humidity. Well, it'll be 90 degrees today and 90% humidity. What is that? Goodness gracious. So I hope you are braving the heat well, and I appreciate you stopping by today's show to learn about this week's key. I can't believe it. We are at key number 11. Two more keys, and the season is over. And holy cow, have we got some incredible things I'm going to tell you about coming up for next season. But first, let's talk about today's show, shall we? We have a couple of great guests dropping by, and it's our Forget the Perfection Principle key. First, our Investor's Edge guest, Paul Rubio, will be dropping by in the first hour, and he is the founder and CEO of Dividend.com, and it's the number one source for long-term investors. So this should be an interesting conversation, because what do we talk about when we talk about how do we build wealth? Well, it's systematically, and it's over time. So we are going to have a nice chat with him about the stock market, and he's going to make it super simple for us to understand and get engaged. Our next hour, we're going to have Colette Ellis dropping by, and she's the founder of InStep Consulting. And I'm really thrilled about her because as I was reading all of her materials, she's a coach and an author. But she's going to teach us how to leverage the various areas of love. Now, I've just coined that phrase. That's not her deal. But that's what I was getting the vibe, the way she has her stuff assembled. And so we'll talk to her in the second hour and learn how we can empower ourselves through leverage and not the financial kind. So I'm excited to have a conversation with her. And then we will have our switchboard disappear for some reason. And we will have our Millionaire Minute, our Keys to Riches in its entirety for this week's key, which is Forget the Perfection Principle. Those ever-important nuts and bolts to give you the specific techniques on how to implement this week's key. And we, goodness gracious, we've just got so much lined up. I'm so excited. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about what's coming up. For those of you that have been with us a while, first off, congratulations, because you're probably doing phenomenally with what you have learned here so far with the show. But number two, you are aware of what's coming up in just a couple of weeks. And that would be our Declaration of Financial Independence Day. Just like our country takes and has its National Independence Day, we have our Declaration of Financial Independence Day here on the 1st. And it's our fourth annual, and I'm so excited about that. Because what this means for you as a listener is, well, great giveaways. We've got a partnership with iwearyourshirt.com, and so they always have great fun things going out. In addition to all of that stuff, we will have an opportunity for you to make your own Declaration of Financial Independence on our website at unlockyourwealth.com. And we are rolling out a new and improved version of our membership website. VIP listeners will still enjoy the same free access that they have, that you can go and listen to shows anytime you want. And for those who are the VIP listeners, well, you're going to be able to get your key strategy for the week 24 hours after the broadcast on Saturdays. In addition to that, our premium membership will be our insider membership, and we are reducing the cost and adding more tools. So it'll be the greatest thing that you have ever had. As an Unlock Your Wealth insider, you're going to have access to every strategy. We're going to have new resource centers put in where you can take and you will be able to fix your credit specifically. You will be able to create a healthy savings and spending plan, and you will be able to assimilate information like you never have before using all of our Keys to Riches founding philosophies. And all these tools, plus so much more, articles, blogs, forums, you name it, are on the website. So you'll want to be involved. It will help you create the foundation that you need to accomplish whatever it is that you desire in your life, financially and personally. So we're going to have some incredible tools in there. Plus, we'll have a professional development resource center as well. So once you get your personal act together, so to speak, then you can start working on your professional act and learning how to add value in the workplace or take advantage of new opportunities to create additional income streams. All that's going to be for our Unlock Your Wealth insiders on the premium side. And we'll be rolling that out on July 1st as well. So I'm super excited. We've been working late hours, whittling our fingers to the bone, typing, recording, transcribing, you name it. All of this stuff is going to be available for you on the show. So, or on the website at unlockyourwealth.com. So I'm so excited about that. So please be a part of the action, and you can take and participate in our little event. We will have details coming up this week on the website how you can be a part of the Unlock Your Wealth Declaration of Financial Independence phenomenon. We have an incredible show planned for you, and I am so excited about that. So we are going to have a moment with our sponsors, and then we are going to jump right in with some Minutes on Your Money and our Investor's Edge guest coming up shortly. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting, was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And this Saturday is going to be spectacular. Why is that, you say? Well, because we have some pretty spectacular guests. For our Investor's Edge segment this week, we have Paul Rubio. He is the author of Be a Dividend Millionaire. He is also the founder and CEO of Dividend.com, which is the number one source for long-term investors. His daily content is featured on such major finance portals like TheStreet.com, RealMoney.com, Forbes, AOL Money and Finance, and NASDAQ.com. And he now joins Unlock Your Wealth Radio for the first time to share his insight and wisdom with us. Welcome to the show, Paul. How are you?
Good, Heather. How are you?
I am well. I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So being a dividend millionaire, huh?
Yeah, there you go. It's the slow and steady way, but it's going to get you there.
Well, first off, how long have you been in the marketplace? Let's start
well,
there.
Heather, I actually was a full-time trader going back to the mid-90s, and I was a trader full-time for about 13 years.
Me too.
So,
not that long, but I got out.
Well, yeah, most people don't make it past 13 weeks usually when it comes to trading. It's probably one of the hardest professions that anyone could ever try to challenge.
But if you're an adrenaline junkie, it's perfect.
Yeah, no question
about
it.
No, I loved it. I loved it when I was in it. I just kind of gradually, you know, I had other interests and started going in different directions. You know, contacts that I had made in that industry led me to do some other things that seemed more exciting.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's I mean, trading is definitely a profession that comes with, you know, I mean, it sounds sexy, but there's a lot of work involved, and there's a lot of isolation as well, too, because, you know, it's all on you to perform. So if you do not, I mean, you're only as good as your last trade, but so I mean, that really means you have to be very prepared. And, you know, I was interested in becoming an sort of relighting my entrepreneurial fire myself, and that's sort of when I decided that I wanted to create something. You know, I wanted to stay in the niche that I understood, but I also knew that, you know, preaching about trading to everyone out there is probably not the best road for most people to try to take. So I really wanted to focus in on what I felt was something that could really be a concept and be a strategy and actually something that's worked for probably the last 80-plus years. And
yeah,
that is the slow and steady investment style of dividend stock investing and getting that compound interest really to work for you.
And it's not a foreign concept, but folks a lot of the times just don't really understand it, or because it's so intangible, you know, it's not like something you can hold and touch and feel and watch grow like your kids or a puppy or things like that. It's tough to embrace those concepts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I sort of look at it sort of like as a CD, a bank CD. Everyone out there probably understands, you know, hey, you know what, you know, interest rates, you know, once they were high at some point, and everyone would be, hey, you know, 1 year CD, you're getting 4%, 5%, 6%, and a 5 year CD, you get 7%, 8%, and you know, the concept was, okay, my money's there and it's just going to grow, and you know, that's really it. But over the last 3 or 4 years, and who knows for how much longer, probably going to be a while longer, interest rates are peanuts, as my Italian uncle would say. They're paying peanuts. So the idea of dividend-paying stocks is sort of like a bank CD. Of course, now with the assurances of, you know, where it's going to almost for certain going to be there. But what happens is there's quite a bit of companies out there right now that are, I mean, again, very well-known companies that readers and listeners out there can think of them as sort of individual bank CDs in a sense that, you know, they're paying a dividend yield each year. Mm-hmm. And with the bonus that, you know, there are quite a few of these companies that are each year raising those dividends. So that's sort of where the compound interest factor now really hits home, is that, you know, when you buy, let's say, a stock like a McDonald's, for example, and it's paying a 3% yield, you know, at these prices, you know, McDonald's has been one of the better dividend increasers that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years. So probably in the last, 4 or 5 years, they probably more than doubled their dividend. So if you think about it, you know, in the standpoint of, you know, let's say 3 or 4 years down the line, your basis of your yield could go anywhere from 3% up to 5%, 6%, 7%, and that's sort of where you'll have your base growing. And, you know, think of it like that. I mean, that's pretty exciting, and that's not counting any sort of stock price appreciation. So again, with compound interest, it's not seeing the results right away in the first 6 months or year or 2 years. It's what happens as you get into year 4, 5, 6, and all of a sudden, you know, you look at the compound interest, and we have this calculator on our site, sort of a compound interest calculator. It's under tool that's free for anyone that's out there that wants to use it. You just plug in a number there and just do an interest rate. Let's say, like, again, historically, dividend stocks have averaged about 11% annual returns. It doesn't mean 11% every year. It just means there's going to be some years where it's more and some years it's less. But if you plug that in, and again, that's sort of what has been the average, that's where we come up with a concept where, you know, someone that had invested, let's say, $3,000 really early on, let's say, in their life, and just reinvested those dividends, and that's all they did. They didn't put any more money in, and they got those 11% returns over time. Within 53 years, now, again, that's not a short amount of time, but that $3,000 compounds into over $1 million.
So I know.
Think about the idea of now someone that can maybe now out there that's saying, you know, I don't have anything, but I want to start, but I'm afraid I really have too much. Take $100 a month and start with that and just put it into some of the better dividend-paying stocks. Open up an account with a Schwab or Ameritrade or Fidelity and get started and just start with, you know, buying a share of this company, share of that, and two shares of this, and just do that every month and make it a regular part of your routine. And you're going to see, as time goes on, you're going to really sort of grow into, it's going to be something that you're going to want to put more and more into when you start seeing those results as the years go by. You're going to go, wow, this is fantastic. It almost reminds me of those shows that you see on TV now, you know, where everyone's clipping coupons, the extreme couponers.
I know.
And they're going ballistic, and they get addicted to it. It's the same thing with this, is that you start to see results in a few years, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, forget about just $100 a month. I'm going to put $200 a month. And you just start to see that, and it builds and builds and builds. And next thing you know, you have a phenomenal nest egg. Mm-hmm. And, again, when it's time to grow wealth, and that's really what the rich people do. I mean, there's the one concept that everyone that's rich that does is that they acquire assets that produce income. And dividend-paying stocks is one form of that. So, you know, for everyone out there that's, again, wanting to get wealthy, understand it's not going to happen overnight. But if you have the discipline, you keep doing it every month, automate that money from your paycheck into your brokerage account and get that money to work every month. Forget about if the market's up or down. Don't worry about timing the market. Just get it in there and put it to work.
Right. That's the key, is just to get engaged and to get started. Now, on your website, who is your target audience? Are these advanced investors or are these total newbies?
We have quite a range of our customers. They range from, you know, the mom and pops out there that, you know, find us by searching dividend on Google, and they, you know, we're up at the top of the pages for so many terms for dividend stocks. They also have found the book, and they all actually have found us too. In Susie Orman's new book, which is called now The Money Class, her new book is out. And if you go to page 274, she mentions about our service, Dividend.com, which she uses, and she's a big fan of our newsletter. So we're getting a lot of people that are, you know, Susie followers. And so, again, these are retail mom-and-pop investors. But then on the other side, on the flip side, we have money managers, financial service people, where we sort of like are the guys doing their homework, because on our site we have research for about 1,600 of these dividend paying stocks, of which we actually have our best dividend stocks list. So, you know, anyone that's managing money out there has a great investment resource by just, you know, looking at our Dividend.com premium site, and they subscribe on our service. And, you know, we're doing, I guess, you know, homework for people that manage probably millions and millions of dollars at the same time. So it's quite a variety.
Well, that's pretty exciting. I mean, that right there is kind of a testament to the value to the individual if the pros are going there for advice.
Right. And, again, they're finding me on, you know, Forbes and TheStreet.com, and, you know, articles get syndicated many times on Google Finance. So we're out there, and, you know, with the book out, you know, just a few months ago, and, you know, I sort of did a little bit of a book buzz doing a lot of radio stuff for that, you know, so a lot of people find me through, you know, listening now to some of the programs, and hopefully there'll be a lot of them listening to this program as well. And, you know, it's a very exciting time, especially for us. You know, we're national as far as, you know, we have subscribers from all over the country, but we also have international subscribers, so people that are living overseas that have accounts, you know, whether they're American or not, they're actually buying U.S.-based stocks. They're subscribing to our service as well. So it's pretty amazing when you open up and you sort of, you know, take a look at, you know, who are the latest people that have subscribed, and they're coming in from Singapore and Israel and Italy and you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty exciting. And, you know, being in Susie's book, of course, was a big moment as well, sort of like the Oprah Winfrey moment for us.
Yeah, I bet. Perhaps I'll put you in my book that's coming out this summer. We're in edit now. Maybe I can find a spot for you.
Sure, why not? Well, definitely. I would love to be a part of that as well. And I just think that's really what it is when it comes down to everyone out there who's listening after this program, is they have to understand, if you're going to become wealthy, it's really, again, it comes down to buying assets to produce income. And, again, we talked about it with dividend-paying stocks. And there's really, now there's only probably two other ways that everyone sort of knows as well, is, you know, if you're buying income producing real estate. So, you know, let's say you own 3 or 4 family homes, not on speculation, but actually, you know, doing the math and looking at properties that, if, you know, your tenants are actually, they're covering your expenses, covering your mortgage, and you're making positive cash flow at the end of the month. That's another thing, again, that the wealthy do, is they look at real estate that will produce income. So, again, that's something else that it's a possibility. And the third thing, of course, is, you know, building businesses, you know, and really having businesses that now create income for an individual. And so, of course, starting a business and having a successful business is the hardest probably of the three. But if you have that passion and that ambition in your DNA, then, you know, starting your own business in something that you're very good at, and, you know, understanding what your niche is also another phenomenal way to become wealthy over time.
What do you think is the biggest reason folks don't invest in the stock market?
I think part of the problem is they sort of really watch too much of the media. And what's unfortunately happened, you know, over the last probably, I don't know how many years now, is the media's become so traitor-esque, and all the headlines
like
are geared toward, here's the breaking news, how should a trader position themselves to make money over the next few days? And here comes pundit number one, pundit number two, and they're constantly flip-flopping, you know, I like the market, I don't like the market, I like the market, I don't like the market. So what happens is people at home, you know, unfortunately are watching some of these programs, and it's so manic that they've gotten away from really talking about investing to more about trading. And I think that's unfortunately part of the problem. But again, it's sort of that whole ratings grab. You know, everything is like a big deal. Coming out of, you know, statement by Federal Reserve Ben Bernanke, and next thing you know, market looks like it's moving lower on the statement. We'll be back with an expert that thinks the market's going to drop another 10%. And that's the whole circle of life of just keeping people on edge. And, you know, when someone's on edge, they tend to sort of shy away. But at the end of the day, you can't afford to not be invested in the markets. But you have to also avoid the temptation of trying to time the markets and becoming a trader. And that, unfortunately, is what sucks people in, is that they see a pundit come on TV and says, well, I like this stock, I think the stock's going to go up 40% over the next 6 months. So that's a trade.
You got Kramer shouting at you, mad money.
It's, again, I think over the years, you know, business media has sort of gone into that realm that, you know, it's all about ratings. And it's always been about ratings. But when they talk about, hey, you know, investors, it's sort of like, you know, I look at that, you know, and I sort of grin. I'm like, listen, I've been a trader for many years, and, you know, so I understand that part of it. But they make it just feel like anyone could do it. You know, this is a stock that's going to double in the next two months, 3 months, and everyone gets sucked in, and all it takes is one bad experience, and that's it. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want no part of the market, or let me give my money to someone else because I don't understand any of it. Yet it is not a complicated thing when you're understanding, again, from a concept of dividend-paying stocks, is that you're really not doing so much thinking. You're just sort of methodically every month making sure that your money is going into your brokerage account, and then you go in and you take a look at some of the companies that you're familiar with that are going to be around for a long time, that pay good dividends. And you're going to go in there and you're going to buy a few shares each month, and you're going to build yourself a nice nest egg with a portfolio that is going to just keep growing based on compound interest. And that's really it. I guess if business media were to just focus on that, it'd be too simple.
Mm-hmm. And
that's the thing, is that, you know, for the business to, you know, make the money that it does, is, you know, there's this old adage, you know, we make small jobs big, and that's what, you know, business media does, is they make what doesn't have to be complicated, complicated. So.
But that's how they can sell the sizzle.
Oh, yeah, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, fortunately for me and, you know, what we do in our firm, you know, we just, you know, we enjoy what we do, and we know at the end of the day we don't have to worry about, you know, sort of giving out what is someone like handicapper picks, you know, someone betting on sports. And, you know, 1 week, you know, this team will win, the next week that team will win, and you're going to have, you know, 51% of people happy 1 week, 49% of people not happy. And that's the whole sort of fast money mindset, and it's, at the end of the day, it's so harmful to people that are out there that are just trying to, like, build some sort of nest egg. And, you know, I think that's what it is, Heather, you know. So.
Well, how much does somebody really need to know to start with dividend stocks? Because you watch Cramer shouting,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying this about this company and the news on this and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wow, that just goes like flies right over my head. And then you watch some CNBC, and you got the reporters predicting, and then the Fed makes statements, and then this happens, and now there's a sex scandal over here, or
right?
Like, you
and
know,
what
an Enron
the
over
market?
There. So,
right.
So do we need to know everything, or do we need to know what
no,
do we need
no,
to know?
No, really, all it is actually, if anything, you need to sort of you need to do as much to block that channel out of your. Out of your selections as much as possible, and just really find yourself some good sources. Again, we're online, so, you know, again, we're the number one source. So people could come onto our site, and we have a library of information for people that are new. Again, that's free that they could take a look at. I write a free newsletter that goes out 6 days a week, and right now there's over 21,000 people now that get that newsletter. Each day.
Wow.
So, and I keep everyone abreast as to what's going on and really what it means for them, and not, you know, putting people on the edge of the ledge there. And I do as, you know, my best possible to sort of really hold everyone's hand to understanding that, you know, this is news, but it's not news that should be anything that should rattle you. And if something isn't good, I'll say it isn't good. And, you know, there'll be situations where sometimes companies will lose their way. And we'll tell people, hey, you know what, this is a company now where it's a company in the industry that's lost their way. And I think this is something that someone may want to look at if it's in their portfolio. They may want to look at it and sort of like taking care of a garden. You may want to take that weed out of there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, sort of what we do without all the pomp and circumstance of the manic type of coverage. So, again, I think for investors out there, it's about really blocking out what is noise, because most of it is,
mm-hmm.
and really focusing on knowing that they can do it themselves. But all it is about being disciplined and methodical and just making sure that you have money in position to work for you every month. Every month. I always make that sort of the goal, is tell everyone that, you know, at least whether you're putting money in twice each month into the markets or once a month, you have to keep doing it. And that's really what it is that's the most important thing. Forget about, you know, I think the market's going to fall 2%, 3%. There's always good companies, especially with dividend-paying stocks, Heather. Think about this. When they pull back a little bit, those yields actually go up a little bit, because as the price comes back down, some of those yields go higher. So when your entry point, it'll actually be better in some of these companies. And that's unlike when you're trading stocks that have no dividend and the shareholder base is pretty shallow, meaning, you know, when the stock sells off, there's no one there that's really mm-hmm. interested in catching the knife as it falls. with a lot of the dividend paying stocks, you have a pretty solid shareholder basis. So will the stock, you know, a move lower? Yes, of course, but they just don't move as much lower as stocks that traders are going in and out of. And that's that's really the beauty of it. Is you're not going to be in an area where traders are dominating what's going on with that. So I think that's really important for everyone out there to understand, is that, you know, a lot of these dividend paying stocks have pretty solid shareholder bases, where there comes a point where if a stock falls a certain amount, there's going to be investors out there that are going to say, you know what, this is a great opportunity to buy some more here.
Yeah, I know when the market was tanking and everybody was sitting there going, oh, my gosh, I'm like, give me the phone. I need to double down.
Right. Or just
people are looking at me like I was nuts. And I
right.
Like,
yeah, it's not so much about, like, yeah, and it's not, again, so much about, you know, buying everything that falls. It's a matter of looking at the best quality companies, and that's what we do at Dividend.com, is we have our list of, you know, our database covers about 1,600, of which I think right now we have about 54 companies that are on our recommended list. And what that means is these are companies where if you have money ready to go into the market, those are the stocks we like best for any new capital. And we make it a, I mean, that's really what it is, Heather. It's that simple. So,
well, let's create a hypothetical scenario here. So let's say I am brand new to the world. Let's say I just got out of college, and I know I need to start saving for my future, and I've been a good saver. And so I have a few bucks in the bank, and I want to go from saver to investor. What are my step-by-step? Can you give us a few steps of a strategy? Obviously, the first step is to buy your book.
Well, that's sure. That's, you know, it definitely never hurts, I guess, you know, to have
right.
something
so,
that's a pretty
so
good
I bought your book to be
manual.
A dividend millionaire, and then what's my first step?
You do want to make sure that you open an online brokerage account so that you're able to do this from your computer. So there's plenty of great choices out there, like, as I mentioned earlier, whether it's Fidelity or Schwab or Ameritrade. Those are just some of the names out there. And what you, I mean, and they're so user-friendly now. So if you're on there and you're just so frightened that, you know, I want someone to walk me through this, just call their toll-free number. They always love to have new customers, and they will walk you through exactly what you need. They'll help you fill out whatever the form you need. And once that's in place, then what you also want to do is you want to, if you can, try to make sure you set up yourself with a retirement account. So someone, let's say, that's starting really fresh right here, the best probably fund would be like an IRA, which I would lean more toward a Roth if someone's just starting out rather than a traditional. Again, a Roth IRA, you don't get the tax deduction from what you put away each year, but what happens is down the line, as that portfolio grows, whatever it grows to, when you start taking that money out, that's actually going to be tax-free. So
for now, until Uncle Sam figures out something.
Yeah, until
now.
There's some sort of you know, they would have to sort of make some sort of change. They can't just, you know, out of thin air decide that they're going to raid someone's Roth IRA. But that would be, you know, that would be really a key step as well, is you want to make sure that you have a retirement account that you're able to begin to fund as well. And again, with a Roth IRA, you could put up to $5,000 a year into the market. Whether it's Roth or a traditional IRA, it's $5,000 a year that you could put in there. So if you do a traditional, which is fine as well, you actually get that as a write-off. So that's pretty nice. So if you're making income, let's say that year of $40,000, and you put $5,000 in a Roth, you're only going to get taxed on $35,000 in income. So that's pretty nice as well. So you get that little bonus. And with that account now, you can buy dividend-paying stocks. And what I would do is any of the dividend-paying stocks that you do acquire, I would tell the broker, and they do this, and a lot of times brokers will do this for free. What they'll do is you tell them, whenever any companies that I own pay out their dividend, I'd like you to reinvest that money back into more shares of that stock. And that's a great way to do that as well. And a lot of times, you know, maybe it'll be, you know, the cash pad will give you enough to buy one or two shares. And again, depending on the broker, they may do that for you and not even charge you. So that's pretty nice as well. So there you go. And now you're on your way. So your accounts are open. You're funding your accounts. wherever you work, you want to make sure that there's something that they could do to maybe automate money so that you don't have to put that money in your hand and then go and mail it in each month or whatever. Try to automate as much as you can so that the money's never really in your hands and it goes into your broker. It's because, you know, there's always the danger of it's harder to take that money out of your hands when, you know, all of a sudden you're saying, well, you know, why don't we go out shopping, and all of a sudden that money's
in your palms.
Right. So if you can automate the money from your account automatically each time you're getting paid into your brokerage account, that would be a phenomenal thing to do. I would recommend that highly so that you don't have the temptation of going out and spending it and getting away from the plan of building long-term wealth.
Yeah, everybody thinks that they can break into those retirement accounts and that they'll put it back, and they never do.
They never do, and, you know, you hear about borrowing against, you know, people taking out loans against their 401k, and it's 9 times out of 10 that money's gone. So you want to try to do as much as you can to not have to handle it in your, you know, not putting the money in your hands and just making sure it goes in automatically. And you don't have to watch the market every day. You go in once a week, look at your portfolio. Hey, let me see what it's doing. Spend 5 minutes doing that. Let's say you subscribe to our site, you know, spend another 5 minutes. Hey, let me see what's on the dividend.com recommended list here. Huh, that looks good. I don't own that. Maybe I'll buy that. Go into your account, set that up, put in, you know, an order to buy those shares come Monday morning. Let's say you're doing this on the weekend. You could put in, you know, your order and say, come Monday morning, pick me up a couple of shares of this when the market opens. And you could do it all online. And you don't have to sit there on your computer when, you know, when the market opens. It could be done for you as the market's ready to open. And, again, there's so many things that whoever you use, whether it's Schwab, Ameritrade, or Fidelity, or whoever, there's so many things that they'll be able to answer for people. We're always urging our readers out there because a lot of times they'll ask us different questions that they could that are really more dealing with their own accounts that their own brokers can just easily answer for them. And there's so many great things out there, and they could teach them how to automatically do this, automatically do that. And once you're set up really with those accounts and you do these few things, it's really not spending that much more time. That's really what it is. So I wish
so
I could.
So it's a very low-maintenance, low-education-intensive way to get involved.
Right, and you're leaving that emotion that usually scares everyone away at the door. You're not bringing that in with you. You know, you're not watching the market. It's 10:30. Let me see what the market's doing. Oh, no, it's down. Oh, no, it's up. I should have bought it. I should have sold it. You're avoiding that as much as possible.
Well, it's been so awesome having you on the show today, Paul. I really appreciate all the advice that you're giving our listeners. If folks want to get involved with your website or get your book, Be a Dividend Millionaire, where can they find you?
It's really easy. The book is actually available, I believe, in Barnes & Noble and Amazon. If you go to dividend.com, we have a link for it as well, so that could take you right to it, so you can do that. I definitely urge all your listeners out there to sign up for the free daily newsletter. That'll give them a great, you know, day-by-day understanding of some of the news that's out there and kind of the way I'm interpreting it as well. And then, you know, if they're ready and they get themselves ready to go, then we actually offer a free 14-day trial that does not even require a credit card to access our site. So, we're trying to make it as simple and unintimidating as possible. And, you know, if Susie Orman's a big fan and, you know, it's in her book as well and she's a big fan of our service, we actually have it as part of our ads as well. That's got to make you feel really good as well because, again, she's such a well-known personal finance guru out there. And again, that's just part of what is the validation of kind of what we've built as our brand. So I definitely urge everyone out there to get started. Don't procrastinate anymore because it's really not complicated. And again, DIY, you can do it yourself because at the end of the day, Heather, you know, no one's going to care more about your money than you.
You are so right on that. Well, thanks again for taking time out of your Saturday to be a part of our show. And for
thank
those
you very
of you
much,
who are...
Heather. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed your time here. And for those of you who are driving around and don't have a pen or pencil to write down his website, never fear, unlockyourwealth.com is here, where links to all of our show guests are available. We have more coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on TwoForTheRoadUSA.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis. KinesisIndustries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the very last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial freedom with Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update. 30 minutes of all the tips and tricks you need to manage your money. Listen to Heather Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And what a great guest. I was so excited to have a conversation with him. You know, we don't really think about dividend investing or as it being something that could be easily attainable, but the resources that he has provided are pretty doggone exciting. So I'd surf over and take a look at that. Remember, we have all of our previous guests linked on our website at unlockyourwealth.com. So surf on over and click through, and you too can be a dividend millionaire if you give it a shot. And speaking of millionaire...
Tell me.
Yes, it's that time again for our Millionaire Minute. This is our segment where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers, figure out what they're doing, and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now today. And one thing that we know about millionaires over the masses is that they are great at making effective decisions. And there's a plan in place for that to happen. The first thing that you need to do when it comes to decision making is to believe that you always make great decisions. The power of belief goes very far, and it gives you the confidence that you need to know that when you make a choice, you're making the correct choice. The second thing you need to know about making effective decisions is to only make decisions when you are in the right frame of mind. Making a decision when you're upset or emotionally engaged means you're going to be less effective at that decision and perhaps might have made another choice had you been in the right frame of mind. The next step is to have a decision-making strategy that you use consistently every time you go to make a decision to evaluate your options and choose effectively. And last but not least, you must be okay with your decisions. And if new information presents itself, be ready to make another effective decision. Now, for more tips like this, you need to join us on our Tuesday show at 6:30 a.m. where we have our Unlock Your Wealth Radio to go, your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation that will give you the tools that you can incorporate into your life right now to start your day the millionaire way. And as we continue to talk about millionaires, you know, the list for the world's most expensive cities is out. And Bloomberg has, in Business Week, that Americans might be complaining about the high cost of living or our crappy economy. But overseas, the U.S. dollar is even weaker. And this list that they put out each and every year tells you where the most expensive cities are for people that spend in U.S. dollars. Now, it used to be that London was king of the road, but nope, Tokyo is number one. Let me just give you an idea of how expensive Tokyo is. How about you want to go to the movies? $24 a pop. Want to saunter over to the local pub and have a nice frosty beer? Try $11. Okay? And Japan has dominated the rankings with 4 of the 10 most expensive cities. In addition to Tokyo, Nagoya is number 3, Yokohama number 5, and Kobe is number 9. Now, there has been no U.S. city as a result of our weakened dollar in the top 30. Now, Manhattan used to be our country's most expensive city. It fell to number 44 from 28 last year. And it is now cheaper than Toronto, which is 37, and Vancouver, 42. The U.S. second most expensive city is Honolulu, and it fell from 40 to 62. And while they haven't yet, it could only be a matter of time before Beijing and Shanghai crack the top 30 because they're 46 and 47, respectively. But on a good note, now, as we think about crappy economies and things like that, you know, we have over 5,200,000 households in the United States that have assets under management of $1 million bucks or more, with every day growing. Now, it's not just growing here in the United States, but while it might be tough, perhaps perception is not reality because somebody's making money out there. Now, globally, wealth increased 8% to personal holdings of $121 trillion, and that's with a T. And I don't even have anything clever to say about that. But worldwide, we went from 12.25 millionaires, 12.25% of households worldwide as millionaires, to now 12.5 million. So people are starting to make money out there each and every day. And you, too, can be a part of that. What we need to do is remember, through neurolinguistic programming, our presupposition, that we have all the resources necessary to do whatever it is that we truly desire. We just might not have those resources organized in a fashion that is benefiting us right now. But never fear, Unlock Your Wealth Radio is here. And as a result, you can learn what you need to do to reorganize all of your resources to get yourself where you want to go. First off, by listening to this show each and every day and then surfing over to the website and utilizing all of the tips and tools that we have to help you create the right strategy for success and financial freedom in your life. Now let's switch gears and go for a little downer. How about a little buzzkill right after all of that great money talk? Americans' home equity is near record lows. Krista Ruggeber and Derek Kravitz of the Associated Press write, falling real estate prices are eating away at home equity. The percentage of their homes that Americans own is near its lowest point since World War II, the Federal Reserve said Thursday. The average homeowner now has 38% equity, down from 61% a decade ago. So, hold on. Wait a minute. I thought we were going to talk about something that stunk. 38% equity? That's almost half of your home. Think about that, 38%. So if you owned half of your home outright and only owed the bank for the other half, is that really a bad thing? So you're looking at a 20% loss over 10 years. Okay, so I want to interpret this headline for you. It's called a bleak snapshot of the housing market as mortgage rates hit new lows for the year, following below 4.5% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. But even alluring rates have failed to deliver any lift to the depressed housing industry. Number one, it's because the crisis wasn't managed effectively. Now, we can't get around that, so we're going to sit here and still be mired in it, unfortunately. But the Fed is basing its data from the first quarter of this year from a report from 2002. Now, usually as you pay down your mortgage, your home equity rises, and then it also appreciates in value. So you're still paying down your home, and you're still creating equity with every principal dollar that goes to pay off the principal balance on your mortgage. And remember, this is where people get all freaked out and stressed out. It's a loss is not a loss unless you realize it. And what do I mean by realize it? If you have a stock and it goes 90% of its value lost. So if you have a stock that's $10 and it goes to $1, and I'm just giving you an example of what happened a few years ago. And you panic and you sell it, yeah, you just lost money. But if you sit tight, within a week, that market that folks sold at the 90% loss was back, right where it was. If you would have sat tight and not done a thing, you would have been fine. But folks didn't. They panicked, and they sold. And clearly they weren't listeners of this radio program who would have heard over and over to sit tight and let the storm pass. Because those that did didn't see any problem. Those that not only sat tight, but took advantage of the 90% off sale and went shopping and bought additional stock that they owned at $10 for a dollar, now just saw a 90% increase in the value of their stocks because they averaged down and they bought on sale. And who in this listening audience, especially if you're women, don't love a sale? So that is what you need to be focused on. If you live in your house, there's a value to living in your own personal residence that you cannot quantify. The satisfaction of having a place that is yours, that you come home, hang your hat, you rear your family. That's what we do. And when we think about that and our home and our value, you can't sweat it because it's small stuff, because there's nothing that can replace. There's no dollar value that you can add to the satisfaction of raising your family and having a secure, safe, happy, clean place to live. And there's no tangible value. So you can't let silly stuff like this bother you. But what you can do is say, okay, perhaps this is now the time, with interest rates going even lower than 4.5% and prices in the real estate market going lower. Forget about where you live. And if you already have investment property, forget about what you owe because you still have cash flow and you're not paying that mortgage anyway. Somebody else is. And focus on the opportunity that's out there. You are giving, you are being given a big fat coupon to go shopping and to create another income stream for you and your family. That is what this market is screaming at the top of their lungs. But who is listening? Who's writing about that? I don't know. Not anybody in that article, that's for sure. Okay, real quickly, because we have our second hour to get involved in, five surprising things that can hurt your credit. Here are five surprising things that can lower your credit scores and keep you from having a stellar report. Interesting enough, renting a car with a debit card. Now, people think that they're being hyper-responsible using debit cards instead of credit cards. But what happens is in the fine print of your rental agreements, there's clauses potentially that say that the company has the right to pull your credit report if you use a debit card instead of a credit card. Because, again, they're looking for interesting things. There is a statistical survey that was done, and there is a correlation between low credit scores and car accidents and higher insurance claims. That's why insurance companies pull your credit, because there's that link. So when you sign that contract, you're giving permissible purpose for that. So now, hey, wait, guess what? Somebody's checking your credit, and you didn't even realize you authorized it because you didn't read the fine print. So that's one thing that you need to pay attention to. Another thing is closing a credit card with a zero balance. Hey, that is 35% of your score, open and available credit. If you don't want to use it, that's great, but leave it there. It's adding to your score. If you're going to be responsible, put the card away. Shred the card, and then you can't use it, as long as you haven't memorized the number. Next, buying furniture from a local merchant using their financing. Holy smokes, revolving debt? You are paying an ungodly amount of interest. And how about having a credit card company that doesn't report your limits? That's a bummer. So the only way to find that out is to pull your credit and see what's on there. Again, vigilance is key. And as we roll out our new and improved UnlockYourWealth.com website, you will find an entire credit center with great tips and tricks to help you get your credit on track so you can become a power investor creating the wealth that you desire for you and your family. We will be right back with more Unlock Your Wealth Radio. In the second hour, we've got Keys to Riches and Colette Ellis. Don't miss a minute. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome. Welcome back, everyone. I'm thinking of the 80s, for those of you who are old enough to remember Ricardo Montalban from Fantasy. Welcome to Fantasy Island. And then little Tattoo drives up in his little mini car. Yeah, that, welcome, not to Fantasy Island, but to Create Your Own Reality Island here on the Unlock Your Wealth radio program. We are now in our key hour, our second hour of the broadcast, and I am so excited about our key guest. Colette Ellis is the founder of InStep Consulting, and she is an author and an executive coach and motivational speaker who I am coining the term based on what she teaches, is leveraging the areas of love in your life to achieve incredible results. Welcome to the show, Colette.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Hello, Heather. How are you?
I am well, and you sure covered the bases because folks listen live and they download and listen anytime.
Exactly, exactly. Just wanted to make sure that I covered all three.
That's awesome. So I hope that I'm on target, but with everything that I have read and learned about what you teach, I feel like you're teaching people to leverage areas of love in their life to create better results. Is that an accurate assessment, or am I totally off base?
I think that's a great way of describing what I do in terms of focusing on your vision and love in the broadest sense of the word in terms of focusing on the things that are most important to you and figuring out how to be most successful in those areas.
Now, you have a book, Focus on Your Vision. How did you come about writing the book?
Well, it started last year in 2010 when I was doing quarterly sessions for clients around developing a strategic vision. And I started to think about this concept of 2010 vision, which really means being able to see things clearly at 20 feet that other people can only see while standing 10 feet away. So it's really like developing a bird's eye view of your world. And I started to think about, well, what would it mean if people could have 2010 vision in their lives and how much more they could accomplish with that level of attention and motivation? So I thought it would be really great to put together some information and some tips and some visualizations to help people go down that road, and that's how Focus on Your Vision was born.
Great. That's a neat way to look at things and to consider the two different angles and know that some people are only looking through one lens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you share some of your background that kind of led you to coaching and consulting? What made you go in that direction?
Absolutely. I've been a consultant and coach to leaders within Fortune 500 companies, not-for-profit organizations, as well as government organizations. My background includes training and certification in stress management, and as well as I've worked in consulting for some of the major firms here in the U.S. And about 8 years ago, I decided to focus on building my practice instead of consulting full time. So it's been a fantastic journey, and I've met lots of great people along the way.
Now, I know that you're certified as a Seven Habits of Highly Effective Person from Franklin Covey. That's pretty exciting. And now, do you incorporate these seven habits with your 2010 vision?
Well, the 2010 vision is something that's unique to, you know, to what I've done with my work. I think that all of my training, including the Seven Habits, I'm also certified in Focus, Achieving Your Highest Priorities, and the stress management program that I mentioned. And I've also done some training with Landmark Education. So I think that everything that I bring to the table comes from my goal to focus on continuous learning. So I keep my toolbox constantly retooled to make sure that I can bring the best skills and ideas to my clients.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way, and I'm always a perpetual student. And
mm-hmm.
I think that some of the most effective educators are the best students in order to continually tweak the process, because I believe It's a process and not necessarily an end result.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So in your focus on your vision, you have a four-phase process. What do you need to identify in your life as you are creating your vision? What are some key areas?
So the four steps that you mentioned, the first I call clear your lens, which is really getting centered and focusing on what's really important, which is what we started talking about at the start of our conversation, looking at what are your true priorities, when are your most focused times of the day, how are you actually spending your time, and with whom are you actually spending your time, and really starting to identify those areas to look at where are the distractions and where are some of the areas where you may be focused on non-crucial things. And not to say that we don't have things that we need to do in our lives on a regular basis, but the more that we can get honed in on what our priorities are, it really can help us make choices again about how we spend our time and with whom we spend our time. The second piece is revealing your true intentions, which again makes it easier for you to choose how you do things. And to really be thinking about, do your tasks, do your responsibilities, do your actions really reflect those intentions and priorities? Sometimes we don't give ourselves permission to really focus on the things that are most important to ourselves. So we may let someone else's goals or someone else's intentions get in the way of what we're really seeking to accomplish. And sometimes that happens in the workplace, and it also can happen in our personal lives, again, if we haven't given ourselves permission to be authentic and honest about what we really care about.
Why do you think people do that?
There are a number of different reasons. I mean, I think that sometimes it can be based on the relationship with the particular person. So sometimes we may feel hesitant about sharing our true selves with people in our lives, maybe because of things that have happened in the past. You know, maybe you're thinking like, oh, the last time I shared this with someone, I got hurt or something happened and it didn't work. So it's best for me to just maybe hide that part of myself so that I don't get hurt again. And sometimes those things aren't even really conscious decisions, right? It just sort of happens. So I'll talk about it in a moment. So the next thing is looking at blind spots, which is really kind of trying to examine some of those areas where you may have been holding yourself back from achieving your goals or really just getting in your own way. And it is with the sometimes with the help of a coach or even just listening to friends and close colleagues about how certain situations played out may give you a sense of those areas. Blind spot really just means that you don't know what you don't know, or you're not yet aware of some of the areas that you may be doing these things. And the more that we can kind of let our guard down and be willing to explore some of these areas, it can really be helpful in achieving those results that we want.
Yeah, I feel like that is some of the core hang-ups with folks when it comes to managing their money, is they don't know what they don't know, and that can be a trap.
Absolutely, and in particular in terms of finances, maybe not fully understanding if they're sort of in a spending mode, why the spending happens. You know, because most people understand. How much money they're making, and, you know, if we're really honest, we do understand how much money is going out, but in certain situations where we may be spending a bit more than we would like to, it's kind of taking the time to think about, okay, what else was going on when I was making that purchase? You know, was it just that, okay, this was an item that I needed or an item that I wanted, or were there other things that were going on that may not even be really related to the actual spend? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely it does. That's one of the things that we address. And I find that as a big challenge for folks when I do financial coaching with them is trying to identify where the self-sabotage comes in, how to create new patterns for healthier behavior.
Absolutely.
And so in our process, you know, we've got clearing your lens, mm-hmm. revealing your true intentions, looking at blind spots. What's the last step?
And then the last step is envisioning the future and really aiming to, you know, as you were saying, sort of looking for the new pattern. So imagining your world as it will be when you have fulfilled your true intentions, and then utilizing different tools to help you stay living in that future. So whether that's everything from positive affirmations to actual visualizations to tracking key action steps that you want to take or that you will take, and giving yourself, you know, holding yourself accountable or finding a team of people that can also help you be accountable for those actions. So you've mentioned in terms of once you recognize perhaps that there's some self-sabotage happening with regards to spending, you know, what new actions are you going to take and how are you going to hold yourself accountable? And do you have a team, a support team that can help keep you on the path to those new actions and that healthier behavior?
This interesting that you mentioned the support team, because that is so crucial, yet most of the players on our, quote, team, unquote,
mm-hmm.
tend to be saboteurs and those working to undermine our success most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
How would you recommend folks go about identifying those people and getting them off the bus, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
like from good to great, and getting the right people on the bus?
Mm-hmm. Great question. And I think that, and it ties back into, so earlier when I was talking about, you know, identifying and revealing your true intentions. So, you know, if we're moving to, we want to move to new patterns for healthier behavior as it relates to finances. So, okay, so then even just sharing these goals with people that are on our bus, right? And mapping and watching the reactions, right? There are going to be people that are going to be like, that's great, Heather, you want to do this, and, you know, whatever I can do to support you. And then you might recognize that there are some people that may not have that kind of reaction. And that's where the challenge becomes, right? Because then it is about making the choices about with whom do I spend my time, right? Or if I am having some sort of feelings or something are surfacing for me, who is it that I can call that would be someone that would help me sort of, you know, come down off the ledge or whatever it is, or before I go down the rabbit hole and sort of run to the mall and, you know, max out my credit card, you know, who are the people that I mm-hmm. can call to have a conversation with about what's really going on before actually going there? And that's where it's, you know, challenging, because someone like you or someone like myself can be the coach on the team and maybe even role-playing, you know, I don't know if you've done this with clients, but even role-playing what the conversation is going to be like. Okay, so who's the person? What's, you know, what's the end goal that you want to have in this conversation? You know, what's the outcome that you're seeking? And let's talk about how you would share what's the new behavior that you're trying to achieve, or what's, you know, how can we talk with this person? Again, deciding whether it's important to you to maintain the relationship, so that's a different conversation, versus it may just be that, you know what, maybe I'm just going to spend less time with this person in the future until I'm feeling like I've sort of got it on, you know, got it all under, I don't want to use the word control, but you know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that the toughest challenge for us
mm-hmm.
as individuals, when, you know, because we are where we are because of the people that we've surrounded ourselves with.
Absolutely.
And if we decide that we want to go to the next level and others either don't want to go there or are afraid to go there or definitely
mm-hmm.
don't want you to go there, your support team, it has a significant impact on your ability to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And for fear of upsetting apple carts in relationships, I feel like people don't make the decisions and the choices that need to be made to get where they want to go, and they tend to subjugate their needs for others. It goes back to number two in the process when you reveal your true intentions.
Right.
You know, and that's what makes us guarded.
Right. And sometimes it's also how we describe the goals, or, you know, the changes that we're going to make. because presumably, you know, we can maybe describe it in a way that doesn't make the other person wrong, right? You know, like, okay, I'm just not going to hang out with you anymore because, you know, every time we hang out, I spend too much money, right? That's probably not going to be a conversation that's going to get someone excited about the changes mm-hmm. that you want to make in your life. But it's kind of more like, hey, you know, I've sort of, whatever it is, you know, whatever information I've gained, you know, I've, you know, been listening to Heather's show and I really want to make some changes in my life. And she's got me excited about doing some stuff. And here are some of the things that I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, you know, put my credit card in the freezer, what, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do, and try to get the, enroll the person or get the person excited about the new change. Because I know that when I make these changes and, you know, and I start to see the impact and I start to see, you know, my savings increase, that's going to enable me to potentially spend more time with you or to be able to do more fun things because I'm going to, you know, have my financial situation under control, and it's going to make me that much more, you know, I'm going to have much more peace of mind, which means, you know, I'm going to be in a better mood, and we're, you know, like, so there are ways perhaps that you can share or describe, you know, part of that envisioning your future and try to get that person excited about what that new future will look like without making them feel like, oh, they've been the bad person or the bad guy that kind of, you know, enabled your other behavior.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one thing to correct a negative behavior, but to try to redirect and get where we want to go mm-hmm. is not always easy. And mm-hmm. it's simple, but it's not easy. And
right.
when you have saboteurs on your team, it makes that work almost impossible
mm-hmm,
when you don't have the right people.
Right.
What are some of the – go ahead.
No. I was going to say, and part of this process is then becoming aware of that, right? So even sometimes just the awareness of that may mean that then, again, you choose to direct your energy or spend your time with other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to creating our vision
mm-hmm.
and narrowing down, what other tools do we need to have in our toolbox outside of a support team that can help ensure our success?
Some of the tools or activities that I work with clients around are really to be thinking about things that their accomplishments that have made them proud, both personally and professionally, really starting to look at where the areas in their lives that are most important. So sometimes it's in self-reflection, sometimes it's thinking about things. It's also then sort of thinking about, you know, I've done things with folks to say, you know, imagine yourself 3 to 6 months from now and we're sitting and having, you know, a cup of tea or coffee in your favorite place, and I ask you, you know, tell me about 2 or 3 things that you're most proud of. So it's kind of like future, imagining yourself in the future, looking back on the past, saying, it's another way of saying, what would you like to accomplish? But sort of thinking about it from the mindset of, I've already achieved it, right? So sort of thinking about, ooh, what would I really love to do in the next 3 to 6 months? And really thinking about that. So in relation to finances, you know, are there specific financial goals that you might want to achieve in the next 6 months? But again, aiming to put yourself in the thoughts and the feelings of what that would be like after you've already done it, again, as a way of helping to motivate you to think about, okay, what would the actions I would need to do, what would be the actions I would need to take in order to achieve that goal, whether it's saving, whether it's investing, really being specific about it, but thinking about, wow, what am I going to be able to get once I have been able to accomplish this goal?
Mm-hmm. Now, you work with all sorts of folks, average, everyday folks, and you deal with public, private, individuals that have seen inordinate amounts of success, yet everyone seems to have some sort of hang-up. And it doesn't matter how successful you are. I mean, we're human. Everybody's got a flaw or an issue. What do you think the biggest block to success is? Do you have a universal one among your clients?
I mean, because I hesitate to put it in the context of a flaw. I think that, you know, obviously we are all works in progress.
So that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, the biggest challenge. I mean, I think we're talking a little bit. We've been talking a little bit about it in terms of levels of honesty or levels of authenticity, whether that's with ourselves or with the people in our lives. And because we tend to take on a lot of different roles, right? And so, just looking at where those roles complement each other, whether that's, you know, work life or even different aspects of our personal lives, and looking at where they potentially conflict, and then the choices that we make around those conflicts. So when, you know, work conflicts with your home life, or when various aspects of your personal life conflict with one another, how do you make choices? And how do you set expectations with the stakeholders in that game, right? So it might be that being, you know, you can only be in one place at one time, right? So that means that maybe something isn't going to get done. So how do we handle when something isn't going to get done? Do we just, you know, sort of sweep it under the rug, hope no one will notice? Or do we, you know, are we honest with everybody in the game that says, all right, you know, I said I was going to do X, or, you know, something has come up. And how do we handle those difficult conversations? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that goes back to that adage, and I can't remember off the top of my head who said it, but, you know, our value isn't necessarily measured by our strengths, but how we manage our weaknesses.
Right. So I guess I would say that is right. How do we manage the challenges that arise? And that doesn't necessarily mean to say being perfect, right? Because that can be another thing with high potential leaders, right? Is we feel like we have to get it right the first time, and if we don't, we're a failure. That's definitely not what I'm saying, because it's a matter of, you know, you deal with the circumstances that you're dealt with at the time, at that moment, and then when there maybe is some time to sort of look back and sort of think about, okay, how did I handle that particular situation? What could I have done differently? What could I do differently in the future? And how do I ensure that everybody that was involved in that situation or in that conversation walks away feeling more empowered? Because, right, again, so if we're being honest about the pieces and taking responsibility for our part, and then, again, maybe not blaming others for stuff that gets in the way. And that's what makes it challenging. That's I think, what makes it all challenging. It doesn't mean that we can't do it. It just means that it's maybe a different level of awareness.
Mm-hmm. And that plays into the driving force behind this week's key, which is forget the perfection principle.
And look at that.
It's an unattainable ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we manage to be acceptable, and how do we manage ourselves appropriately and know good enough is good enough, even
mm-hmm.
though it's not perfect? And that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, that I see, is everybody gets paralyzed by this perfection ideal, and
mm-hmm.
either they don't take enough action, or they take a little bit of action and it goofs up, and then they run and hide. And then abdicate the responsibility for what they did or did not do.
Right. Right, because if I didn't meet the mark, and the mark was perfection, then, you know, it's almost like it's a no-win situation. I don't win, the people around me don't win, society doesn't win, no one wins. Whereas if we look at what we have done and being able to be accountable for what we've done and hold others accountable for what we've done, we can find ways to potentially do it better next time. Or maybe the situation has changed and, you know, what we tried before doesn't work. So maybe it's a new way of approaching things. But that's still in an action-oriented problem-solving mode, as opposed to, you know, we aim for perfection, we miss, and then we spend lots of time just beating ourselves up or blaming other people, which isn't really all that productive.
Mm-hmm. Well, Colette, it's been wonderful having you on the show. If folks are interested in picking up your book or
mm-hmm.
coaching, where can folks find you?
Absolutely. So the full title of the book is Focus on Your Vision, A Positive Practical Approach to Achieve Your Biggest Dreams. and that is available on Amazon.com, and it is an ebook, so you can find it in the Kindle section of Amazon.com. And my website for InStep Consulting is InStepConsulting.com, and you can reach us via email at info@InStepConsulting.com to learn more about coaching.
Well, thanks again for being a part of the show this Saturday, Colette.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was wonderful. I enjoyed our conversation. And for those of you driving around without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealth.com is here. Links to show guests and so much more. We have the Keys to Riches coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X for Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twoforthroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead.
No.
Tune in to Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the Financial Gnosis, Heather Wagenhals, and we are now moving into our key segment for this week. Now, we have really flown since the beginning of the season through these keys, and for those of you that have been listening regularly, this key is quintessential to your success, because of the value that you're going to get out of today. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, thanks again for tuning in. Welcome to the broadcast. And the key to riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that one key at a time, one week at a time. And we are now at our 11th key out of the 13 that we have, and it's forget the perfection principle. And this is so important because for those that have been with us a while, you have come so far. First, you address the fact that you had a problem. Either you didn't know anything about money, or what you did know wasn't getting you where you wanted to go, or worse, getting you into trouble, or you just hadn't had a chance. You're a young pup, a babe in the woods, and haven't even had a chance to go out and get in trouble yet. And you don't know what's right, wrong, or indifferent. And then you started working on the inside as well as the outside by affirming our value, and then we thought about what it is that we do want. We learned about goal setting, what we needed to know, what the whole financial picture looks like for individuals, and took an investment inventory of our knowledge about money. And then we supplemented those areas with either knowledge or professionals that can aid us in those situations. Then we learned that in order to focus on plan A, we have to create a plan B, so our mind isn't constantly thinking, what if? We actually take the time to create that what if scenario. So now it's not an issue. If something happens, we're prepared. And that preparedness allows us to focus on our true desires. Then we learned how to assess our current financial situation and create a healthy savings and spending plan. We also learned about how to get our credit on track, and we learned how to start investing very simply through using the power of real estate and leveraging ourselves and having other people build our wealth. And we learned about taking emotion out of the picture when it comes to decision making, and we learned that we can't justify our bad behavior with making excuses, and how not to make seasonal exceptions for that, and how to plan our seasonal spending. And here we are today, and we've clipping along, and something happens. Maybe it's something we did to ourselves. Maybe it's something that kind of just happened as a circumstance. Some sort of catastrophic event happened to us that we were not able to control. And now we're stuck. We're like, okay, am I healthy? Savings and spending plan just got blown to bits. Now, working on a perfect ideal is completely unattainable because perfection is a perception. It's not a reality. We can deem anything perfect by our own eyes because of the way we see things. And we filter for certain things and we look for certain things. And if it's not relevant to what we're searching for, we just discarded. We distort it, we get rid of it. And perfection is only a perception. We can see perfection, but it, just because it's perfect to us doesn't mean it's perfect to others or that there is this truly perfect whole ideal. And when we get focused and fixated on that, and if every duck is not in its row, we get stressed out, we freak out, or we quit. And so we have to get rid of this idea that perfection exists and that we must attain it. That's not what we're committing to. Because when it comes to managing our money, it's an ongoing process. From the day we start to get it, till the day we move on and pass it to someone else. There's no end game, so to speak, that we can achieve at some point. So we have to discard this idea of perfection. Most of the time, we use emotions and catastrophic experiences to protect ourselves. We create these fears, or we focus on negative occurrences that have happened in the past to sort of shield us. It's our little inner curmudgeon trying to protect us from unpleasant circumstances or painful things, and especially if they've happened before. But the challenge with falling off the wagon is two things. One, not getting back up, which half of us do. And almost the other half, get back up, but they won't forget. They hang on to whatever this crappy circumstance or negative event was, and they constantly flag themselves with all of these negative connotations and ideas and experiences, and they keep it right in front of them. It's in the past. It should be behind them. But they continually focus on it. It's in their field of vision. It's what they're looking at right now. And that does no good. Think about it this way. If you were walking down the street, okay, and you're approaching a crosswalk, and there's traffic, and you want to be able to deftly avoid being hit by a car, which way would you be looking? Would you be looking forward? Would you be looking toward where you want to go, the other side of the street? Yes, you would be. So why is it when financial issues happen to us, circumstances that may or may not have been within our control, we never look forward, but we constantly look over our shoulder behind us at what went wrong? Why do we do that? Why do we focus on something that's in the past and keep it in our present by continually reliving the episode instead of looking forward to the future with anticipation? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Well, there is one driving factor that keeps everybody, all of us, from moving ahead at any point in our lives. And it can happen at any moment. And it is the most important mechanism that we have in our bodies. It's ingrained in us. It's subconscious. And what it is, if I was to ask you what would be the most important trait or characteristic a person has, and you would say, well, survival, like that mode of survival. But you're wrong. I thought that too. And I was wrong. I was like, what do you mean? Survival is not the most important primal thing that we do? Mm-mm. You know what it is? It's the need for familiarity. That's why we wallow in the past. That's why we enjoin others, because misery loves company, is because catastrophic events that have happened to us that we don't move on from, death of a family member, injury, loss of a loved one, a terrible breakup with our boyfriend or girlfriend, a divorce, loss of a child, like all these things we don't move forward from because, one, we're trying to chase an ideal that we feel like we can't achieve, or because we're focused on something that happened in the past because it's familiar and we're afraid of the unknown. So what we have to do is learn to let go. We have to get rid of that perfection ideal when it comes to managing our money. And we have to focus on the progress of the process. When we review, revise, and recommit and do our three R's, we're not looking for the things that went wrong. We're looking at what went right so we could do more of that. So what we need to do is let go of the issues, the mistakes, the challenges that we couldn't overcome. And know that that's okay. Because if we expect everything to go as planned, then our plans and our expectations of them are completely and wholly unrealistic. And guess what? We will be headed for disappointment. And we plan for disappointment by not appropriately planning for alternative scenarios. That whole plan B, hope for the best, plan for the worst. We have to make sure that our expectations are in line with what our goals are and that we're setting ourselves up for success. If we set the goal and we expect perfection, even if everything went right, we still might not be perfect by the time we get there. We still might not have measured up. There are all kinds of extrinsic factors that you and I don't even have control over that can materially alter our outcomes. We can only influence them to the best of our ability with what we can control, our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. So when we expect things to be perfect and to go smoothly, we're setting ourselves up for disaster in reality. And so what we need to do is learn to not concern ourselves with perfection, but focus on progress. Am I further ahead today than I was yesterday? Did I make better decisions today than I did yesterday? Am I focused on where I'm going tomorrow based on the information I know about yesterday and today? That's what we need to pay attention to, not, yeah, I fell off the wagon and I spent too much money yesterday. And be looking over our shoulder. Okay, it happened. It was an accident. Here's how I'm going to fix it. Today, I'm not going to spend any money. Since I spent $20 yesterday, I'm going to just spend $0 today. Or I'm going to spend $10 today and $10 tomorrow to make up for the $20 that I overspent. But I'm not going to wallow in that $20 and keep focused on it. I'm going to look forward. Because if I am busy looking over my shoulder at what's happened in the past when I'm trying to walk toward my future, what's going to happen? I'm going to get run over because I'm not paying attention to what's ahead of me and I'm focused on what's behind me. And what we need to do is figure out exactly where we need to be in order to appropriately and positively, with eager anticipation, move forward to the future, but have our expectations in line with life. Because what do we know about life? What do we know for sure about life? The one certain thing that we know about is life has uncertainties. And so using our key from the past of hope for the best, plan for the worst, create our plan and then look at the different ways it can be sabotaged. And if we have come up with alternative scenarios on how we handle that, then it's no problem. So yeah, so I went out and I bought this dress that I probably spent a little bit too much money on yesterday. But I really like the dress. It's in line with all my other core values. I'm going to wear it. It matches my wardrobe if you listen to our fashion and finance show yesterday. It's in line with all of these other things. So I'm not going to, you know, flog myself till I have whip marks on my back because I went overboard and I blew my spending plan. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, it's okay, I made a mistake, here's how I'm going to handle this in the future and how I'm going to right the ship. And so I overspent by X yesterday, so for the next 10 days I'm going to underspend to make up for the difference. That's all you got to do is you just have new information. It's like what we talked about in the Millionaire Minute. When you make a decision, you have to know that it was the right decision to make because it takes you to the next right decision you need to make. So the next right decision is not wallow, forgive myself, and create a new plan to right the ship and get back on track. So that's what this key is all about. And what we need to do is focus on that. So for our nuts and bolts for this week's key, our key statement for Forget the Perfection Principle is, I know that in order to be truly successful at any given endeavor, I must focus on the progress of the process instead of trying to achieve an ideal of perfection that I know is not attainable. Our key affirmation for this week, I'm going to give you a few to choose from, or hey, why not try all three? One is, I am great at staying focused. Number two is, I am great at forgiving myself. And number three is, I am great at getting back in the game. Now, we say our affirmations several times throughout the day to convince our inner curmudgeon that we are truly in control of our thoughts, feelings, and actions. And we're going to say our affirmations out loud right before we go to bed to focus our subconscious mind on creating new neural pathways to bring what it is we truly desire into our lives. Then when we wake up in the morning rested and refreshed, we're going to say our affirmations out loud again to now focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose of the day. It's not letting the dog out, making the kids breakfast, rolling over, kissing the spouse, picking up the dry cleaning on the way to work. No, it's about creating freedom in our lives and choice to do whatever it is that we would like to do at every given moment. And then the next time we say our affirmations is anytime we encounter negativity throughout the day. And because what we think about is what we bring about. And so we want to focus on our higher purpose and not on some negativity that someone who wants to rain on our parade or take us off our game for whatever their personal selfish desires are. We're not going to let that happen. No, we are going to refocus. And if it seems like you say your affirmations all day long, well, I've had those days too. And that's okay, because that just makes you even more focused and more dug in. And our key action item for this week's Forget the Perfection Principle key is, the next time you make a mistake, you fall off the wagon, or you have a catastrophic event that derails you, you are going to look at it from a different perspective. First, if the mistake was by your own hand, the next time that opportunity comes up, you're going to consider the consequences of those choices before you make that ineffective decision. And then you are going to forgive yourself, and then you are going to refocus on what it is you truly desire. If the choice to go forward doesn't fit in your plan, you won't do it. If it does, then go forward with confidence. Remember, effective decision-making is about considering the choices and making a decision and moving forward. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. It was a pleasure to have you. And also to have Paul Rubio and Colette Ellis on today's show. Remember, we have our Declaration of Financial Independence coming up in just 2 short weeks. Be sure to snap up your VIP listener membership and look forward to more information about our insiders, our premium level membership that's going to be rolled out on July 1st, where you'll have incredible tools to help you and your family achieve financial freedom for less than you think. Finally, financial freedom can be yours at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhals saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you Tuesday for our Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go. Now go out and make it a great day.